Blog Talk Radio.
It is what it is.
Yes, indeed. Welcome back, y'all. This is Brother Kev with Collective Minds Radio. And I'm with my lovely sister, Rigel Starr, and my brother, Mufasa Ra. What's up, y'all?
Hey,
what's up, what's going on? It's been one hell of a week for Collective Minds Radio. What y'all, how y'all week been going?
Man, it's been going good.
Mm-hmm. All right.
And I was on my chance to, I got a chance to see how upstate some of my brothers can be. But, you know, hey, we still family.
Indeed, indeed. Yes, sir. Okay, we got a good build on the show today, but, you know, before we get started, do y'all have any announcements? I guess we go with Elijah Starr first.
No announcements today.
Okay. Mufasa Rob, you got any announcements?
Only announcement I make is that the, you know, we talked about it last week, but they had the march, the 10,000 man march, over the past couple of days in Washington D.C. I saw some nice footage on Facebook. So shout out to
you, got
the brothers.
Okay, you kind of going in and out, brother. Your phone sounded a little
shot. Shout out to all the brothers who was there. Boots on the ground at the conference. Appreciate y'all hard work.
Indeed, indeed. All right, and let me see. Do I have any announcements? No, I don't have. Well, I do got an announcement. Just in light of the, the Starbucks situation. I guess it happened at a couple Starbucks where people felt like, you know, they was being discriminated against, couldn't use the bathroom, or was asked to leave or whatever. I know a lot of people heard about the case in Philadelphia. And then there was also some stuff popping up online about L.A. Fitness or one of these gym clubs and all these things just coming to light, you know what I mean, at this time. And, you know, I just want to put it out there, like my brother Mufasa say, we need our own. You know, at the end of the day, because it's getting back to those times where, you know, people are getting discriminated against. Actually, somebody just sent me something too about Fast Eddie's here in the St. Louis area. It's actually in Alton, Illinois, but it's part of the St. Louis region or whatever. And apparently somebody, you know, black person felt like they was being discriminated against. They felt like they was being racist. And, you know, they wrote up a little comment about it. So all that to say, we are going to need our own. We're going to need to patronize our own. But that still doesn't mean that we shouldn't call these places out whenever we have a bad experience. You know what I'm saying? Even though we know, you know, how they do and how some of these establishments feel about us, I don't think we should be fighting to spend our money if, you know, we're not welcome in the established. That's bottom line. You know what I mean? But still, if we do go to these places and we feel like we discriminate against, I feel like we should step up, say something, let it be known, and then just don't go there no more. You know what I'm saying? It's as simple as that. Don't go there. They don't want you there. So don't go. Hey, no sweat off our back. We still got to keep it moving, and we shouldn't be looking for validation in these places. You know, trying to spend our money, and they saying, no, we don't want black dollars. And we steady fighting like, nah, y'all gonna take our money. That ain't right. Y'all should treat everybody. No, it's time out for all that. We need to take it for what it is, suck it up, and keep it moving. You know, try to get our own and patronize, you know, go where we welcome, not where we tolerate it. You know what I'm saying? So just wanted to put that out there.
Hey,
y'all,
on that
y'all
note,
got any responses? Yeah.
Yeah, let me ask you. On that note, check out some Chicago that has a black-owned little Chicago shop. You can follow them at The Hungry Black Man on Facebook. They got a couple of locations called Sip and Savor. You know, three locations in Chicago. So hopefully the brothers can expand out and do more business. And so, prime example of right there, instead of begging somebody to go to their establishment, we make our own establishment.
That's an actual fact, brother, indeed. So, without further ado, you know, we'll get back, get to the show. And just to give the people a real quick backdrop, if y'all was listening, I believe a few weeks ago, maybe a month ago, we had Captain Chatazai from the ISUPK, Israelite School out of New York, and he was a guest on our show. And we delve into, you know, the Hebrew doctrine, the Bible, and just a whole bunch of other questions that we were building on. So this past Thursday, they invited us onto their radio show, which is called Cross the Lines. You can check it out on YouTube. They invited us on their show, and we were supposed to be examining the psychology of the God of the Bible. Okay, and we had a great build. You know, they were saying it was some body bags, but I think we definitely gave them some questions to think about. You know, I had fun. You know, I hope, you know, my co-host had fun as well, but I thought, you know, it was a good build, good conversation. It started off good, but, you know, when people dialogue and religion by religion and God being a heated topic, it kind of got a little heated at the end. You know, nothing real disrespectful, but the aggression came out at the end and people was talking over each other. And some of our points may have got lost in the sauce, you know, so to speak. So this week we just want to kind of clear up a few things, go over what we had talked about on their show, and just kind of lay some things out and examine the psychology of the God in the Bible. Okay, so I just want to get that quick background and let you guys know where we're at on that tip. So now, without further ado, I guess this is the question I want to ask to both of y'all, you know, because we are somewhat familiar with the Bible.
Go ahead.
So from you guys, understanding, why do you think the God of the Bible created humanity? And I guess I'll go with Rigel Starr first. You know, you could always say you don't know, of course, but we just want to ask that question. Why do you think this God of the Bible created humanity and everything?
Well, of course, I don't actually know. However, I can assume. I assume and come up with a theory that sounds like it makes a little bit of sense. And, you know, if for humanity to be created, it could just been that it was just part of creation, period. Just as Mufasa had explained before, creation, we're not the only creation, you know. It's other things that were created as well. We just part, you know, we're just a part of that of creation. So that's how I look at it. Did I ask the question?
Indeed, you did. I think you did. You answered it. I mean, that's fair. Because none of us knows. So I think that's a fair answer. Mufasa Ra, what do you think, or why? And when I say created humanity, I wanted to say, why do you think he created everything, so to speak? But since we're talking about humanity and, you know, worship, praise, the psychology of the Most High, that's why I kind of pinpointed to humanity. But, you know, I'll let Mufasa go in. Why do you think God created everything and humanity, according to the Bible?
All right, well, let's see what. I'm in a good spot, so everybody can hear me clearly. Because last week when
you are actually cutting out really bad. I don't think anybody can hear me if they're in the same room with you.
Yeah, that's why I want to switch up. Can you hear me now?
A little bit.
Not well.
Better, but yeah, it was kind of choppy. Right, it's kind of choppy.
Well, while he's fixing his sound, his quality, I would like to add though to that. I also, not only do I not actually know why, I don't know if it's really, I don't think that it really matters why. Because I think if it mattered why, I think we would know why. I don't think that information is going to bring you any closer to spirituality, or I don't think it's going to take you, you know, further away than what you are, knowing or not knowing that information. I think you can still sustain on this world and things. So I just like to add that. And Mufasa, your reception better?
I hope so. Can y'all hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, loud and clear. You good?
Man, I hope so, because this is getting irritating. All right, so
yeah,
we good.
You good now. Yeah, we good, loud and clear.
All right, this is one of the problems that, like I said, I had last Thursday when I was on the YouTube channel with the Hebrew Israelites. So first, let me start. Before I answer, I want to go back to that day and say this. You know, it's one thing to be a nigga, but it's another thing when you're a nigga with tassels and spikes on. And so I'm going to say this about niggas that wear tassels and spikes. There's one track minded that you were like a horse with blinders on. You shouldn't be so quick to critique, you know, your brother, that just because they wise enough to use different books and life itself to study and learn upon, you shouldn't be so quick to critique them. You know, it's not our fault that, like I said, you like a horse with blinders on, just getting led down one direction. You can't see that you might get ramshacked from the left or from the right. That's not our fault, you know. So I'm going to say clean yourself up a little bit, brother. Don't be a nigga. You know, try to be a little bit more humble and a little bit more uplifting to your people. You know, so I want to clear up something that was said first off about me being accused of being in the Nation of Islam. First, what I was trying to explain to the brothers is I am not NOI. I'm not FOI. But I do read and study some of the teachings of Elijah Muhammad, as any wise black man in America should do. Because there are several points that you cannot argue with Elijah Muhammad on, but he's correct on, and how we need two nation build, something that these brothers in these tassels and spikes waiting on some spirit from the sky to do, is to give them their nation. Well, some of us are wise enough to know that we got to build our own nation. We can't keep on waiting on this
facts
entity, on this entity to do, the same entity, by the way, that they say put us in this condition.
Fact.
So the same entity that put us in this condition, you want me to wait on and follow its guidelines, and it's going to pull me out. Brother, come on now. If you want to hold on to that fairy tale, so be it. Don't let me go astray. Like I said, I'm not FOI, I'm not NOI, but I do realize good teachings when I hear it. So I definitely wanted to straighten that up.
Indeed.
So with that being said, read your question to me so I can touch on that.
Okay. Just from what you know in the Bible or whatever, according to the Bible, why do you think the particular God in the Bible created humanity?
If you go back what God in the Bible, the reason why, to me, when I read it, why I look like it may create humanity is to serve it, to worship it. Because
right.
If you don't worship it, you get punished.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? This God in his book created people, created mankind, gave mankind free will to do what it want. But when they make the wrong decision, it get in his feelings, get mad, and want to punish you. So he can go as far as murder you. You know what I'm saying? Not just give you a tap on the hand or sit you down like a good spiritual father would do and talk to you. This thing, in the slavery, wipe out children and flood people and kill innocent children and the animals and people. So, yeah, this God in the book, it just wants people to worship it. That's how I look at it. But now, if you subscribe to more of what I believe in, is more of an African comedic spiritual tradition, we all came from this one entity, this one God body. This God body was just sitting still at one point in time. And when this God body started moving, that's what's actually called creation, creating itself. So when the creator started moving, that's called creation. And it put out everything that we know today as, you know, the planets, everything that's on our little minute planet, people and animals and plants. You know, creation is everything. We all make up creation. So when the creator put these things into being, it just did that because it wanted to express and it wanted to learn. But it said, we are all expressions of creation. You know, that's why you got so many people with all these different religious doctrines and this big entity, because this big entity already did what it was supposed to do. It created. It's not going to pick sides. It's not going to say this particular thing is better than this one and this person is better than it. This creator is not going to do that. It created things to be as they are. So, that's what I said.
Indeed.
It's not.
Okay, you're getting choppy, bro. We lost the last couple parts.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, we got you now.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm saying that this entity does not pick sides because it just created us to do what we do. So I don't follow this emotional guide of the Bible, because going back to that, any entity that would put me, you know, when we was on that show, we kept going through this, you know, this thing about children and fathers, you know, on that. And I was trying to explain to the brothers that if this God is our father of all, right, just like with us and our children, we would punish our children for misbehavior. But I would never take my kid and send them across the street to be put into slavery where they can be tortured and beaten to prove a point. Especially if I got the power, like they say this guy in the Bible does, has the power to change all things and fix all things. Fix your children. That's all you got to do. Oh, but then they say, well, then we'll be robots. Well, let me tell you, I would rather my child be a robot than me have to murder my child. If I have the choice to make my child a mute, a robot that I control, then I'll control it, because I'm not going to let my child go to another person to be brutalized and beaten and murdered just because it ain't following my directions. So that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. It will never make sense to me. It's just stupid. It's dumb. Anybody that's like being in an abusive relationship. You know, you like abuse. If that's the thing you want to follow, that's your parent. That's an abusive-ass parent. That guy don't give a damn about you. Don't give a damn. Now, they steady preaching about God going to come back and do this and do that. God ain't going to come back and do shit for you tassel-wearing, spike-wearing niggas. Get that shit into your brain. You're going to be out there spewing that. You're going to be out there on the corner yelling that shit to the top of your lungs, and ain't nothing gonna change. 100 years from now, you still be screaming. With that, I'm gonna take a pause and let y'all build a little bit.
Indeed, indeed. that was a good build. I appreciate that.
City two.
Yeah. What'd you say, Roger Stark?
I said, I was a little city.
Okay. You kind of broke up a little bit. But, I want to address something, too, that, hello?
Nothing, I'm breaking, too.
Yeah, you kind of breaking up a little bit. It's a little choppy on my end, anyway.
Uh-huh.
But can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you fine.
Okay. Yeah, I wanted to address something that you had said earlier as far as the question, you know, or the question not being relevant. I have to, you know, respectfully disagree because I feel like the question as far as why did God create humanity or the meaning of life, I think these kind of questions go hand in hand. And that has been the question that man has been asking since he became conscious and aware, is what is the meaning of life? Why are we here? You know, and I think that question can add clarity and it can add a purpose and a vision to your life. You know, so I think that is a major question that all these religions are tackling. Any spiritual system, all these things are tackling this question, which is, why are we here? Who created us? What did they create us for? And what's the meaning of life? So I think, you know, from a philosophical standpoint and just a living standpoint, I think that question is very vital to our existence and to us understanding the role that we play, you know, in this particular life. You know, so with that being said, my take on it is, I feel like the God of the Bible is a sociopath at worst. Right, he is a sociopath at worst, and at best, he is just another entity reacting like a human. He has human emotions. He gets mad. You know, if he created the world, and because the people of the first world didn't do what he thought they should do, and this is his creation, he destroyed them.
Mm.
You see, he destroyed it. He got mad, threw a fit, and destroyed the first world with the flood. So it was kind of like he made a mistake and was starting over.
And brother, like, kid, not just the people, animals too. Animals is plants
animals
and everything.
Animals too. He said the fowl, everything on the planet has got to go. This is my creation, and since the humans messed up, we destroying everything. The animals, the kids. Only person got a pass was Noah because he made a pact with Noah. You see, so that points to an entity that is, like I say, sociopathic, you know, because this is your creation. What is the creator's responsibility for original sin? Is the creator not responsible for the original sin? You see, the creator is responsible for that. So by him throwing a fit and destroying the world, that says a lot about this particular entity. That's why, to me, it makes more sense to roll with the idea that Mufasa just laid out, is this infinite power or energy just basically sets things in motion and is indifferent to what humans do down on this physical plane, meaning it doesn't care. It doesn't have a say-so. You know, the sun shines on everybody the same. Everybody got the same amount of time in the day. You know, the sun doesn't go, oh, you've been good, I'm going to just shine on you. And since you've been bad, I'm not going to shine on you. It doesn't do that. The sun is indifferent. It doesn't care what you do. It's not going to stop you from doing nothing. It may assist you and help you, but it's not going to stop you from doing anything. And this is, you know, the way I see the entity of what people call God. So according to the Bible, like Mufasa said, the God of the Bible created man strictly to worship him because he is an arrogant and jealous God. And in my opinion, like I said, he doesn't want man to recognize the God in themselves. He just wants to be worshipped. That's it. He just wants to be worshipped. And, you know, I guess it's supposed to make him feel good or whatever, you know, whatever, whatever. But that's all he wants.
Then, Brother Kev, the people who worship it or him, right. He don't even do shit for them. They still suffering. They still going through stuff. You all this worshiping you doing ain't getting you nowhere.
Exactly.
You still down here on this earth going through the same stuff all the rest of us going through.
This is true.
So he still ain't listening
to
you. Can you guys hear me?
Yes, we hear you. You kind of a little bit tired, but we got you, Roger.
You can go ahead and finish Mufasa, and I'll speak afterwards.
Because, you know, and this kind of going off subject of somewhat, but, I mean, I even just trip off how this guy did with Mary and Joseph in order to put his stuff on the earth. This guy basically took this man, woman, and just dumped the seed in her and said, you're going to take care of it. Why did this all-powerful God couldn't find his own just single woman, but they didn't have a man? Or why didn't you just poof, you know what I'm saying, make this Jesus appear? You so much could have been done differently, but you such a, you know, a bold bastard that you're going to take this man, woman, put your seed in it, and then force him to take care of it. And that's supposed to be all good. Man, please.
Right.
Miss me with that. You know, I'm tired of taking the light on this subject. Anybody that follow that mess, there's something wrong with you. You got a mental problem.
Okay, is this time for the crazy woman to speak? Is it time for the mental person to speak now?
I guess.
It's on you, right?
I guess so.
It's on you.
Him. Wait a minute, one more thing real quick. With the whole thing of him, he. You know, they literally say that this is their daddy. They don't never acknowledge that it took a woman to get their ass here.
Wow.
They don't acknowledge that. They don't give a damn. And I'm talking about you Hebrews. You don't give a damn about the woman. It's all about you. It's all about the man. You don't give the woman no credit to you getting here. All about your daddy, your spiritual daddy. But when you was born, though, you was crying on mama all the time. You was whining on mama. When you first popped out, you latched on to your mama's breast. Your mama had to get all the stuff, take care of you all while you was coming up. But damn the woman. You don't think nothing about that. It's all about your spiritual daddy. Go ahead, Roger.
Wow. I don't know where to begin. I mean, there's so much that I would like to address. Brother Kevin had actually said something. He commented to my way of answering the question. I'm trying to go back to that. You mentioned that I don't put words in your mouth. Stop me anytime and correct me and say it your way. But you said that you just think it's important that we know because why? Know why we were created because why?
Well, I said it's important.
Well, you know what? No, go ahead. Finish.
Go ahead.
Okay, so you said it's important that these are this is like a top question that a lot of religion and trying to answer. Right? Is that what you're saying? That's like a, this is like a top question that
yeah,
we're
still
humanity.
You're still choppy.
Yeah.
So are you contagious?
Huh?
Mufasa, you contagious.
yeah, you chopping bad.
Hold on.
Yeah,
I'm gonna fix this real quick. Go ahead and bet on.
Okay. Now I was just gonna say what I was saying was it's not so much important to know, but I think we need to ask the question. Like, that should be one of the questions I feel like that should be asked. And I feel like all these religions are asking that question, which is, what is the meaning and purpose of life? Why did the Creator create us? Why are we here? Yeah, I hear some background music. Can you mute your line if you're not speaking? Yeah, so that's what I was saying. And I think the religions, all the major religions and even spiritual systems are attempting to answer that particular question. So that's why I feel like it's important, because it's at the basis of everything. You know, why are we here? I don't think we should just throw that under the rug and accept what society or any one particular religion told us. I think we should examine that question and try to find the answer, because they say when you will know the end when you know the beginning. You see what I'm saying? So,
all right, I'm
you
with
that, Roger? Yeah, so that's all I was saying. I just don't think, you know, it sounded like Roger was saying that where it's not that really important. You can, I mean, I think it's very important to at least inquire. Like, you should, you know, the Creator or God, whatever you want to call it, gave us a brain to be, you know, somewhat analytical and process things. And, yeah, I just think that's one of the questions that should be examined. You know, why are we here? Why have we been created?
Yeah. You know what, then, like, going back to what I was saying on my end, I challenged them to, you know, see, the brothers wanted to talk about rules. See, they need rules.
Right, right.
So, the society will make the rules. The first set of rules
Facts. Was
the law of nature.
Correct.
Okay? You put your hand in something hot, you burn. You fall off
right.
in the ocean, you drown. You know what
right.
I'm saying? You don't have wings to fly. You fall off a cliff 200 feet, you're dead. So you have, when creation put everything into being, you have laws. Those are the laws of nature. Now, when it comes to how people act, those are social laws that
Fact.
The Creator, the Creator gave us a mind.
Right.
And the people in that society make their own rules. That's why rules
right.
differentiate from place to place. You know,
exactly.
the same rules here, they may not follow in another land. Every place is
right.
not big. This planet is. This planet is huge.
Exactly.
Okay, so the society that you live in dictates your laws and your rules. And while all that
Factor.
Stuff is going on, I have yet one time seen that this Most High said, "Come, open the sky and say, later for y'all rules. These is mine."
right.
Ain't happen. Ain't happen. Ain't gonna happen.
Right. I wanted
ahead,
to
you guys hear me?
Too. Okay, we can hear you now.
Okay. You want to ask the brothers too, well?
No, I was just saying real quick, I just wanted to ask the brothers too, what do they think they would do without the Bible? Would they just be running wild? I wanted to ask, like, do they think they would know how to act civilized and accordingly without the Bible? Or do they need the Bible to keep them in check? Because I think that says a lot. You know, if you don't just know how to act innately.
Good question.
And you know, you need the Bible to keep you in check, then, hey, that may be what you need. I mean, you may, without the Bible, you may be, what's the phrase? that I under,
rebel.
A
rebel without,
You know, and that says a lot. If you don't have a Bible, you'll be a rebel without a cause. That just says that you don't have an inner consciousness to guide you and tell you right from wrong. So you need an outside source or something outside of you telling you what to do. So without that, they might be a rebel without a cause. They may be out here, you know, wilding out and doing whatever, just because they don't have an inner consciousness telling them what to do. But I digress.
I'm going to say something real quick. Then I'm going to try to catch up on a few things that you guys said. But, I think they have the inner conscious. I think we all do. Unfortunately, sometimes we just may not. Some may have trouble connecting with theirs. You know, I think that'd be the issue. You know, everybody's level of awareness is different, and is based off of not only the things that we collect with our five senses and our environment and those types of things, and even DNA type things as well, that also play a part in how we operate. But also, it's like if we're here on the phone now, we're all talking, we all have a conversation, you hear me, you can understand, you can respond, you can react. But if you were to doze off, your ears, my sound will still hit your eardrum. That won't stop. But your awareness will be different. So it's the same way. You know, sometimes people's levels of awareness is just different. We have it. But I think a lot of things play a part in the level of our awareness. So I say that, and now I'll drop that there. But to kind of get back to what you were saying, I feel like a lot of those questions that you're saying that everybody have, or a lot of people have, religions, this is the big, you know, one of the big top questions that people are seeking, why? It only crosses a person's mind when they're unhappy, when they're sad, when they're suffering, those types of things. If everybody was living on this earth blissful, had everything that they needed, everything that they wanted, I doubt it if anybody would even wonder, why are we here? It comes up, the question enters into someone's mind or consciousness because they're unhappy with something. Now they want to know, why am I here? Why am I here? When, I mean, I don't know if you believe or not, or it really doesn't matter. This is just what I'm putting out there, you know, because when people's stomachs is full, they're fine. People don't start searching around for stuff until they're at a point where they're needing something and they're wanting something. Their stomach is empty, in a sense. And also to respond to, it was something that Mufasa said as well. I don't remember. I hate I don't remember. But basically, I guess I'll just try to sum an overall thing up, is that I just feel like the problem is not with the Bible. The problem is with people and humanity not understanding and not knowing how to use the creation, the life that's within us. We don't have an understanding of it. So, and you guys heard me say this before and express this plenty of times, that we try to seek answers from outside of us, but yet we experience life from within. We're doing it the wrong way. Just like I said before, it's like trying to measure the depth of the ocean, but then you go with a foot scale. You're bound to walk away with the wrong assumption and the wrong answer. We don't use the right instrument to get the information that we're looking for. So it's not, I personally don't believe that it's the Bible. The problem starts with us. And then I'll stop there. If you guys want to take a call real fast, we can, you know, see, try to get some other
people.
Can you guys hear me okay?
Yeah, we can hear you good. I do want to respond to some, but we can
go ahead and take a call.
Go ahead, respond.
Just real quick,
and then this will be my last point on this topic, because you said that, you know, people don't ask the questions about the meaning of life until something goes bad or they're suffering or they're hungry or whatever. I totally disagree with that, because that is the essence of life. So whether you have money or you're broke, people are still looking for the meaning of life, of creation. Now, what I think has happened is religion, these so-called religions, have filled that void and gave them their interpretation of the meaning of life. But this question has penetrated humanity since the beginning. Like I said, since man has become conscious, so it has nothing to do with living good or anything, because people living good and traveling and money, just endless amounts of money, they're still looking for something. You know, a lot of people are still looking.
Absolutely. That's what I'm saying.
Right.
And
so
you're
that's
right.
What I'm saying.
It has
so
nothing,
it has
to, do
nothing
with,
to do
with
money.
With, I said suffering
right.
and the lack of something. Yes, if you're blissful,
that's the Hebrew,
there's no way
like
in the world. There's no way in the world. No way in the world you're going to be wondering, why am I here? If you blissful. Now, the problem is that the suffering has been in place for a long time. So the question is out there now. The question been out there for a long time now. That's because the dysfunction that's there. If I can guarantee you, I will bet money on it. If there's no way to prove this now, because we will have to go back and change things for us to really prove this theory. So, but if people were blissful on this earth, they wouldn't be wondering about why I'm here. They'd be kicking it in a sense.
They
would.
Not
literally
they,
kicking
I know.
It, but
right.
You know what I'm saying.
But they still would be asking, because, look, you got to think about how we got to this point. We only thing we know is we woke up and people was calling us, you know, Rider Star, Mufasa, Kev, whoever, Brother Kev. That is still a question whether you're blissful or not. That is still a question. Like, how did I get here and be blissful? How did I get here to be happy? I don't have anywhere. How did I get here? That's still a common question that goes to the core of humanity. That's still a question.
Saying,
whether you're blissful
you're
or not.
Still a question, but you're speaking of it as if you've already experienced being totally blissful without the issues. You're like, you don't know that because you haven't experienced that time that I've already acknowledged that. There's really no way to prove what I'm saying, because you would have
right.
to go back into time and have things to be changed, you know.
Right.
But you have to remember that you're speaking about something that's already here in existence. So it's easy for you to perceive, because you experience it. It's easy for you to perceive that and say, no, people will still ask, because it's easy to say that because of your perception of right now, currently.
Well, I mean,
and
right,
that's,
what I meant
and that's
to say
what I think
is,
it is.
Right, but what I meant to say is, before you even get to the blissful part, that question shall arise. This is why people, again, this is why people join religion. This is why people study spiritual
See, okay,
and
so
do all
once
these
again,
things because
every time
they're looking
you say
for
that,
answers.
You're going back. Every time you say that, you're taking it to a situation to what's right now. Yeah, people are looking for religion. Yeah, because they still looking for something. Yes, that's why they asking the question that you're talking about, and the same reason why they seeking
the answer by going to religion, but the emptiness is there. That's all I'm saying. The emptiness is there is what got them seeking in the first place. The seeking, you're seeking
right,
something that you don't have. So you're not going to seek something if you feel like you have everything already. It just don't make sense.
Right.
You seeking because
well,
you're
no,
missing
no, no.
something.
It's not about having. Well, I mean, when you say have everything, that means like the question, like what I'm saying before you get to the blissful part, that question is going to come up because how do you get to a place of blissfulness if you don't have that answer, like or some type of explanation as to why we are here. Like before you get to a blissful part, you got to because it's going to run out. All that if you're not in a blissful or quote unquote nirvana state or a state of complete happiness, before you get to that point, you're searching for something. And
that's
you're looking, Brother Kevin.
That's my point, Brother Kevin. When you lacking something is when you begin to seek and search. That's my point. That's all
right.
I'm saying.
So,
you proved it there. So if you
right.
don't have nothing else
I
to
agree.
Say.
Yeah,
that's
no,
your point.
No,
you
got to
call
him. Right,
that's
because
call
I agree. But I was thinking, I was thinking that you were saying, like, you need material. If everybody had material items and their belly was full, like it got
no,
something to
I,
do with
I
food.
No.
Okay.
I used the belly as full as an example, but I didn't mention anything about material things. That's all. I would have used
so,
that word
okay.
because I know it's a difference. So, Mufasa,
gotcha.
Did you want to say something? We want to try to take a caller.
Go ahead and take a call. I'll address it after that.
Okay. Let's take caller 314-381. Caller, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
31.
You know, from a historical context, men created God. And every ethnic group had their
Thank
own.
You. Thank you, brother.
Right.
Religion is a deification of an ethnic group's culture. Within that culture, they have rules, regulations, traditions, celebrations that dictate how you marry, so on.
Right.
The
Agreed.
God of the Old Testament was created by the Yahwehs, who was breakaway Cushites. And they created a god called Yahweh, who was a local god of no importance. And his psychology was following their culture and custom. Do not give your daughters to their sons, and do not give your sons to their daughter. Mixing was forbidding. The oldest concept of a creator comes out of Nile Valley. Ptah. It is written that when Ptah came into existence, existence itself came into existence.
Facts.
Another point. I hear black Americans claiming that they were ancient Egyptians. Well, that's not true because you're mixed biologically. And I'm going to give you a good example. No black American can go to Ghana into the Akan society and become a chief. Why? Because you're mixed. Remember Jerry Rawlings, the president of Ghana? His father was Scottish. He could not become a chief, but he could become a president because it is something that's dealing with politics on the national level.
Right.
I mean, that's just the way it is. And
right.
we have to respect that. So people,
yes, sir.
Human beings have always wondered, three things. Who am I? Where am I? And where did I come
right.
from?
There you go.
And
there
in order
go.
For them to explain that, especially if they came along in a chronological line of history where others have questioned that before them and tried to answer it, the best thing that they could do was build off of what was there when they came along. If you and I was to start building cars next Wednesday, we wouldn't go back to a Model A Ford. We would build off of what's here today in 2018 and make it fit to our liking. That's just the way
right.
it is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Indeed, indeed. Great point.
I can't argue with nothing
yeah.
with the words he just said. You know, yeah, the brother just
I
put it, made it nice and plain and simple.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because, you
simple.
Know, I'm going to tell you something. You got to believe in that, not giving your daughters to their sons and your sons to their daughters. Because when I was coming up, my parents told me I better not bring home a white girl. I taught that to my daughters. I taught that to my grandchildren. That's tradition in our family. Even though we're American, we have American culture and subversions of it, we still hold on to some of our traditional and cultural things, which defines us as African Americans, blacks, or whatever we want to call ourselves. But when we see one another in a foreign land walking down the street, we give that nod, don't we? Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yes, you're right.
Indeed.
No, yeah, I don't.
Yep, I agree.
No, yeah,
yes,
you
I
right.
agree with that.
Continue to listen.
Hey,
you do get right. a nod. You get a nod.
I do it.
Tyler.
I do it all the time.
Yeah, when you
I do it all
across
the time.
Another black person, you get a nod.
I'm just joking. But I doubt
right.
if you guys
I'll
do that every time, though.
No, not
every time. But look, okay, go ahead. Now Mufasa had a
question
he was going to ask me. He said
I think he disagreed with something. Well, the one thing about what you said the book, about people is the problem and the book ain't, I have to slightly disagree with that because the people use the book as a tool. So the book plays its part also. So we have to include the book in there with it. Without the book,
and
you couldn't use it as a tool. Go ahead, Brother Kid.
Oh, okay, just real quick, some along the lines of that too, because I feel like the book is the problem because you said that people need to look inside themselves. The book, the Bible doesn't tell you to look inside. The Bible tells you to look outside of yourself. The Bible says the only way through to get to God, their creator, is through Jesus. How? I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, it tells you to look outside yourself. And in
I
my
disagree
opinion,
that
that's
it tells you that.
I didn't get that.
When I read the Bible, I didn't.
That's the
I
Hebrew.
Didn't
that's
learn.
The Hebrew Israelite.
Whoever you are. But,
come on, Hebrew.
When I read the Bible, I didn't learn that. So that's not true. I didn't learn that from the Bible.
Well, you didn't.
I had to look outside myself.
Teaching them. This is what they're teaching. You cannot
this is what
go ahead unless
teaching.
You accept
this
Jesus.
Is what who, this is what who,
you cannot,
this is what who's teaching? The Bible teaching that, or are you saying the people teaching it? Who's teaching it?
I'm saying any Christian church. You can walk in anyone in any black neighborhood. They're going to tell you the
okay,
only way
so
to
the
get
man
to
is teaching
is
it.
Through Jesus.
See that? See that?
But,
there it goes again.
But the man teaching it.
That's that Hebrew
in the Bible to teach it. He using the Bible to teach it.
But the Bible don't give you your own.
So you don't
the
agree
person.
With that?
Agree what?
Do you agree with the only way to get to heaven or to get to the creator is through Jesus?
Mm-mm.
I'm not going to say I agree with that statement because I think you're saying it in the way that I have to look outside myself. Even if you want to use Jesus as an example, which Jesus is not just he's more than just a man because he's still more spiritual than you and I, in a sense, coming from a
Break that down for me.
Okay, I'm going to. What I mean by that is that although he was brought here, sent here or came here as a man, his example was to show us as a man or as humans that we can live a certain type of a righteous lifestyle and we can do certain types of things as we are today or how we are in our body. So he came to show us that. But all those things are done through spirituality, though. He just came here as a human because we're human flesh. We're here in the physical. So he came here as one of us to show us how we could live. But the way to do things is still is more of a spirituality type of a thing. It's not natural. I mean physical.
How did Jesus get here?
I don't understand the question.
How did Jesus get here? Did Jesus get her through a woman?
Yeah, but he had assistance though through the gate.
Who was his daddy?
The same father that we all have. The Creator.
So he didn't have.
There you
so
go.
He didn't have, see, so the book just threw you off, right there. The book got you thinking that he just spiritually arrived in this woman's stomach. That goes totally against nature. Right there, what you just said. That's why the book is a problem.
Well, I don't think that's a problem. That's your opinion. That's your opinion. I don't see the book being a problem.
All right. Let me ask this question. So, I guess it's a two-part question. Do you think people should worship Jesus? And if you follow the Bible, do you worship Jesus? Or what?
I don't tell nobody what they should or should not do.
Right, I know that, but I'm saying
on their own.
That's right, but from your understanding, does the Bible tell people to worship Jesus? Yeah, does the Bible tell people to worship Jesus?
Yeah, from
yes
my understanding. From my understanding.
Right. So this is what I'm saying. Jesus, as you just said, was an individual that came down in the human flesh. Therefore, people are worshiping something outside of themselves instead of looking in themselves. People don't even take time to dig into themselves and be introspective a lot of times. Because they're worshiping something. They're worshiping Jesus. Jesus is their man. Jesus, they're worshiping something outside of themselves. Therefore, that's why I say it's a problem. If you're a spiritual book and you're telling people to worship something outside of themselves and not to look within and tap into the God within them, that's a problem.
Yeah, basically it's already showing you up, and it's showing you already that the woman don't even need a man. Mary didn't even need a man. She got God, the Creator, to impregnate her. We starting off wrong from the jump. Joseph just come along. You know, he just the assistant. And that's how a lot of women look at us. And we just assistant, but y'all don't need us as long as I got Jesus. I ain't talking about you personally, but a lot of our women get like that. You know, they don't even know how
that
to treat a real man
with the
no
book,
more.
Though. That ain't got nothing to do with the book, though.
They got something to do with
men leaving them with kids. That's what that has something to do with. Men leaving them ladies with babies and not helping them.
It might have walked off.
A drowning man. Because
might have walked off
because
they know that.
Oh please! So ain't no man got no good enough reason to leave their kid. So you can go on somewhere with that.
You didn't say the kid.
But I'm talking about that's why she probably responded the way that you guys are suggesting is because of the Bible. I'm saying it's probably more so has to do with the fact that the man left her with his kids.
Mm-hmm.
And then take her his responsibility.
Oh,
because even if the man was to leave the relationship and still be there for the kid and help the kid and still be responsible, the mother still wouldn't have a need or a necessity to feel like, oh, my gosh, because he's helping. He's helping. But,
okay, now let me ask you this. Oh, go ahead. Go ahead, Roger.
Nah, because I don't remember what I was going to address something that Mufasa said before, but I don't remember what it was.
Okay, let me ask y'all this. Now, since we're talking about the psychology of the God in the Bible,
yeah,
what do y'all
want
to
get
of the
take
fact,
women and do what he want to do?
Right. What
but
do y'all make
do
of
I'm
the
wrong.
Fact that it says that this God is sorry that he made man? You know, some versions say he was sorry. If you look at Genesis 6, chapter 6, 6 through 7, it says, the Lord was grieved that he had made man on earth, and his heart filled with pain. So the Lord said, I will wipe mankind whom I created from the face of the earth, men and animals and creatures that move along the ground and birds of the air. For I am grieved, some say sorry, some say he repented, that he had made them. So what do y'all make of a creator who obviously it seems to me that he made a mistake and his heart got hurt or he was grieved and was sorry and he had to start over.
Wipe their ass out.
Yeah, so what do y'all make it at? If anything.
I make it out that he don't give a damn about people. On one hand, he do, and another minute, he don't. You get, like I said, you give people a choice, then when they make the wrong choice, you want to wipe their ass out. He don't know what he want to do. He crazy.
Right.
That's why that's probably why a lot of people is crazy right now. Because they get them traits from this entity that they worshiping. This entity didn't know what it was doing.
Yeah.
That's doing all types of silly, crazy mess.
It sounds like it. Now, this is according to the Bible, so these ain't Brother Kev words. I'm just reading what Genesis 6:7 say.
Yeah, that's the Most High words.
Right.
Y'all messed up.
Words, so.
I'm grieving. Goodbye. I don't care how many little babies it is out there. I'm finna wipe you away because I messed up.
So, Roger, I want to hear your take. What do you think about God being sorry?
I don't really have a take on that. But what I do get from this question is that it's unfortunate that when you guys were amongst people that probably did have a theory and could have answered this question because the way that they do follow the Bible, that you guys didn't answer it. You know, I just think that's very unfortunate. But there were times, it was time where it could have been A, and I just think that was that's a waste of time because you was in the midst of people that practiced this Bible.
Let me help you out
and
with
probably
this.
had a reason and an answer for that. I personally although I don't have a problem with the Bible. I don't have a problem with the Bible. I don't use it in the same fashion that they use it in. So I don't have a question.
Right.
I mean, an answer for that. You know.
You know why we
for me that part of for me that part of it, you know, just doesn't matter for me.
We couldn't ask them because they emotional, just like this guy in this book. They just as emotional. Because they get emotional and get in a fifi. So we have to tiptoe. Brother Kev know this. We have to tiptoe lightly when we ask them about this because as soon as we say something and that hit a nerve, they get emotional. And now as we reading this stuff, I see why they get emotional. Because of the entity that they follow.
Yeah.
Well, I think in the beginning of the show, that was a good time to ask that question when nobody emotions was up, nothing was said.
Right,
that could have been the first question.
Right. Well, no. Listen, the reason why that question didn't come up is because I had a list of questions, and I still have a list of questions that I just didn't have a chance to get to. I wanted to, like I said, we would still be talking right now if it wasn't for time and life and, you know, things. People got things going on, family. But we would still be talking right now. I just brought that question up just because it was on the list and I wasn't able to get to it on the show. But I went to the questions, you know, that I was able to get to. And, you know, I try to stick to the script as best as I could. But I have a list of questions for
people.
Well,
it should have been prioritized because if we go back and listen to the first question that you asked, it wasn't the same type of a question that
I guarantee you we'll outlast them over them outlasting us. I guarantee you that.
I mean, for me,
they will get emotional.
I don't know if you're talking directly to me or not, but
I'm not talking directly to you.
I'm talking about
the people who we would ask these questions to.
It's
just like we've asked these questions to Christians. We've asked these questions to Hebrew people. Most of the time, when we ask them these questions, I mean, they last for so long, but eventually they get in their emotions.
What other Hebrews what other Hebrews have you asked this particular question to?
It don't matter about the particular question. I'm talking about when we're questioning them in general. When we get the question,
I was asking about the particular question, though.
Right. But Brother Kev answered that. We didn't even get to that question. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
if they would be patient
enough. Maybe that should have been first. Right.
I know you didn't get to it. That's the reason why we jumped into this conversation that we have now. I know you didn't get to it, but I'm saying if you compare this question you just asked us to the question that you started off with on Thursday, I think this one probably should have been before that one.
Oh, well, hey, I mean, I take that, but, you know, it wasn't set up that way. But, yeah, I should have. And I have, like I say, I have a list of other questions
that
could have been asked. You know what I'm saying? Right. That was just going in, you know, and I was.
He'll give you something that sound better than that one.
Yeah, I probably got some ones that sound better than that one, but I was just going through the list as what I had compiled, you know, for the show. And then as the conversation went on, I kind of veered off based on things that they were saying. You see, but like I say, I would love to have the conversation again and again because I had a lot of fun, and I think they were doing a Hebrew shuffle and deflecting on a lot of questions, you know, trying to be funny, making little jokes here and there, and wouldn't really get to the point. So, you know, you live and you learn. It is what it is, and I was just posing that question, so I don't want Ryder to start to think I'm just attacking her. I was just posing that question. Yes, because
for everybody
on the list, we're talking about the we're talking about the psychology. It wasn't, you know, it wasn't nothing like that. So this is what I want to put out there too, because this seems to me, and I don't think this point can really be argued, is that the God of the Bible is emotional and has has human emotions, which. You know, which makes sense because, like the caller said, humans created this God. They created this story. So what they did is wrote it particular to their particular ways and customs and how they see things and so on and so forth. So it makes sense that this God would be emotional. He gets angry.
Because people are emotional.
Because people are emotional. You know, some people are jealous, you know, and things like this. So it makes sense that they would write these type of characteristics in this particular God. But like I said, for me, it kind of diminishes the power of God if you're telling me he created the stars, the earth, and the universe, but yet he's emotional like me. You know what I'm saying? That kind of takes away from the power of God to me, in my opinion, because you kind of diminishing, you taking away his power. You like, if you do something, you can get this God upset and get him off his square.
Yeah,
you get what I'm saying?
The same entity that created everything. We talking about created everything, but couldn't get it right with people. Still can't get it right with people. You know, that's why these cats are still talking about we need to get ourselves together. we need to fix ourselves. Because the guy, because apparently this creator, this God in this book, messed us up. Didn't even make us right. If it made us right, we wouldn't have to do all this repenting and getting back to the laws to get ourselves together. Am I wrong or right? But obviously we was made flawed.
That makes sense to me.
So right. Who made us? This God of the book made us with these flaws, but made everything else, made the moon, the sun, star, the planet, made all this stuff. But when it came to us, it couldn't get right, and still can't get right.
Right. So, yeah, I mean, yeah, I don't know.
It still can't get right.
What else to say about that one? But yeah,
that's why, like
I was saying on the show, this, the God of the Bible would have to be a subordinate deity, and they were kind of got on me about the unknowable God and unknowable force. But you can call it whatever you want to call it.
Right.
This particular God of the Bible is a subordinate deity. Because he gets emotion. He's jealous, for one, because we know jealousy is a weak human emotion. You see, people don't try to deal with jealous people and things of that nature, but they're willing to deal with the jealous guy.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, those are just
here goes something else. These fools have a so-called Passover. Okay, where they are happy and celebrating the angel of death coming over, passing them over, but killing a whole bunch of other kids and women and you know, men. And we're going to celebrate that. And I'm telling you this, and I could be wrong, but you know, my spirit tells me that this same angel of death that they clapping over and saying wonderful job to was killing black folks just like them. Them other people that died was black people. But you hand clapping that up and celebrating it every year like a fool. That this guy had to come down here and put an angel of death to murder some people when this same powerful entity could have just fixed their hearts. Could have changed their heart. But rather than fixing their hearts and changing their spirit, it didn't know how to do that, but it knew how to send an angel of death down to slaughter them. But didn't know how to change their heart.
You know that came with the free will thing, where he gave everybody free will.
Yeah,
well,
man,
that was his fault.
Yeah.
He gave everybody free will.
Right. We sitting over here. We had to go through slavery because you gave us free will. And some people, and it wasn't even us. Some people thousands of years ago made a wrong decision, a wrong choice. So because they messed up, we sitting here now in a foreign land going through all types of hell. I ain't got no identity because of what some people did 1,000 years ago. But then it's going to come back and punish the ones who did all that. It's going to punish the ones that it ordained to do the slavery.
Right.
We didn't know how to act. So it put us in slavery, ordained white folks to put us in slavery, and it's going to come back and punish the white folks for doing what it ordained them to do. Man.
Yeah.
And they want to say Brother Kev smoking. No, they smoking. They smoking and drinking to believe that foolishness. To follow that foolishness, you got to be high and drunk.
You know what I think it is? I think a lot of people, because this, and I shared this with y'all before, as far as, you know, the entity that people call God and the creator and the force is just a big ball of potential energy. But that force is just like an electrical socket. You know, that electrical socket has energy. It can light up stuff, but it does nothing until you plug something in. So human beings and us, we are the agents that act out this potential that God has. So the point is, God doesn't have any particular power until we do it. You know, we have to be the ones to make that change. We're going to be the ones to lift us up out of this particular creation, because that's going to lift us up out of this situation. Because the energy known as God is indifferent. It does not care what we do. Like I always say, if I walk outside and smack up an old lady and spit on some kids, nobody's going to stop me from doing that except me or some other people.
You see
what I'm saying? It's going to be my higher consciousness saying, no, you shouldn't do that. It's not like someone else is going to crack the clouds and say, no, you shouldn't do that. You're being punished and this and that. No, we are the only ones who are going to save us. And I think the stories, the people need the stories. I call that fluff. That's just extra fluff to get you going along and feeling, you know, little fanciful stories and, you know, this and that.
It's interesting. It's nice.
Really, yeah, it's interesting. It's nice. But the bottom line is you are the only one who is going to save yourself, period. Like, it may feel good to think that somebody's going to come and rescue you and, you know, this savior complex and all that, but the truth of the matter is you're the only one's going to save yourself. When you need to get something done, who does it?
All right.
You do.
Hey, you know what? You know what, Brother Kev? I just remember something. Yeah. I just remember something. Yes, you know, it's a day unto the Lord is like 1,000 years. So, it's only been, about 7 days since creation? You know, about 7,000 years. So, you know, if you follow the book. So, you know, maybe that stuff will happen. Maybe something will come back, but we just got to wait like another, 10 more days, another 10,000 years. And then, the Savior will be back by another 10, 20,000 years from now.
Possibly. I mean, hey, but until then, you still got to do what you got to do, which is, try to better your circumstance.
Right.
But
how can you be mad at
us
for being frustrated with that? You know, you can't get mad at some people for being frustrated about our condition. You know, black people are frustrated with their condition, with our condition. So you can't get mad at us for wanting to do something about it. You know, instead of sitting back waiting another 10,000 years. We can't keep waiting. You know what I'm saying? We trying to do something. You mad at us because we trying to do something? Shoot, we got to do something. And we got to put it in our children to do something. You know what I'm saying? Because like Kev just said, ain't nothing going to fix it till we fix it. But they trying to lull us to sleep. We're thinking something is going to come back. And now, shoot, the beast is getting off of that. Now the beast is lulling you to sleep now with social media. That's
exactly.
All the beast doing now, putting us back to sleep with the dream of being included in social media, putting everybody to sleep. While this beast still doing what it do, still being in power, still trying to take on and conquer other nations of people.
Man,
I'm telling you, y'all got to wake up. You know, ain't nothing wrong, like Brother Kev said, these some good stories and all. You know, hey, I read some good motivational stories out the book too, but I take it instead. It's story. It's a motivational story. Stop taking it literally, because it's not going to happen that way. It ain't happen like that. Ain't gonna happen that way. And if it is literal, that guy in that book, like we said, his psychology is messed up. Is jacked up.
Right. And they were saying, what they were stressing too, that I wish I would have kind of picked up on or said something. They kept saying that black people are the only ones that break the laws of God. Huh?
Wow.
That don't even make sense. Every culture, every people on the planet in some form or fashion break the laws. So it's not just black people. It's not just the 12 tribes that's breaking the laws.
The law.
All people, most people are breaking the laws, no matter, it depends, no matter what race, religion, or whatever, some of the laws are being broken by some of the people. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't see how it's just on black people. Now, we have been, you know, oppressed and reduced and, you know, niggified in this particular Western Hemisphere. But like I said before, the white man break the laws every day, break the commandments.
Every day.
So,
and keep it pushing.
You know,
and keep it pushing.
Yeah, and keep it pushing. Man,
they ain't got
ain't
the nerve.
About man consequence.
They ain't got the nerve to sit up and, like, I used to trip off, like, when we had, when the Twin Towers, you know, the planes hit the towers, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't see America saying, we're going to let God deal with that.
Exactly.
Did America say, you know, we ain't going to retaliate, we're going to let God handle that? No. It went to
exactly.
war. On his own.
Exactly.
But you want to tell your fellow brother that we wrong for wanting to take action. We just need to keep following the laws of the Most High and wait on it to come down. But like Kev just said, that white man don't do that. You cross him, he coming at you.
Yep.
Breaking the law, breaking these laws all the time. Come on, man.
Somehow it's on us, right? It's. But see, what that does, again, and it was so many points I wanted to get. What it sounds like those brothers are doing is just justifying our mistreatment. You see?
Yeah.
They just making excuses for us being treated the way we treat. Oh, it was ordained by God. We broke the laws and we didn't follow the commandments, this and that. No, you're just justifying black people being mistreated, which to me is the trick of the devil.
Yeah.
If he can get you to accept your oppression and put it in a religious, spiritual form, saying, oh, well, you know, it just happened because we wasn't doing what we were supposed to do, you know, and that's the way it's supposed to be. It was prophesied and blah, blah, blah. Well, no, you just taking it at that point. You basically saying there's nothing you can do. It was prophecy, and you just got to take it until – you know, the Most High come back.
Yeah.
You know. So that sounds crazy to me. You basically just justifying your oppression and mistreatment. You know.
Yeah, I wish them the best with that. I wish them well with that, you know. You know, good luck with that belief system. Good luck with that. You know, keep standing out there preaching that word and them laws, brothers. Keep doing what you do, maybe. The Most High see what y'all doing and make some changes for you. Put you on the top. Good luck.
I mean, somebody made the point, it seems like, since since the three major religions been on the planet, humanity has been getting worse. Oh, we have been going backwards as a people. You know what I'm saying? Like, nothing has really changed. Everything that started has been just going on continuously. It's not like we're getting better as far as people. We're actually, you know, we're getting better technology. Yeah, you got the iPhone, but you got 300 and some murders in your city a year. You know what I'm saying? You may have the newest computer or the newest iPad, this and that. You got technology, but people are less connected. People are less humane. People becoming more savage. You got school shootings. You got this, you got that, you got homosexuality running around. You just got a lot of things going on that, you know, just shows that humans are not evolving, we devolving. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
So what is the point of these religions if it's not helping to bring humanity or man to a higher consciousness? You dig what I'm saying? What is the point if we not evolving and getting better as a species, as human beings? If we're not getting better, what are these religions for? There's something we're missing. There's something that's not connecting. And these religions, in my opinion, are just leading us to a particular slaughter. You know, they're just leading us to the slaughter, basically.
Yeah.
In my opinion. So,
yeah, moving forward, y'all. Like, you know, I said, that last Thursday I was done with it, so I'm letting y'all know, like, today, like, anybody who wanted to talk to me about the Bible being literal, you know, I'm probably just not even going to indulge in the conversation no more. You know, now I talk about, you know, my theory. You can question me or we can talk about my theory of creation, but I'm basically done with that book of fairy tales. You know what I'm saying? I read it just for my enjoyment, just like with any other book or all the rest of the books I got. But I don't take it literal. No, I would never take it literal. So I might as well just quit even entertaining the conversation. You feel me?
I got you. I got you. For me, I don't know. I like the conversation, and it's not really like I'm trying
right,
to,
you
know, change
literal,
anybody's
you,
mind.
No,
I don't take it literal, but I do like having conversations with people who subscribe to this because I really be trying to get an understanding as to how, you know, some of the things in there, like how does someone, I don't know, think
I can
about
tell you.
These things. You know what I mean? Like, it's fascinating.
I give you understanding right now. Just like how we just broke down how crazy that God is in that book, they just as crazy. They just as psychotic as that God is. So ain't no need in us even trying to have a for real question about it because they are just as psychotic and emotional as that God is in that book. That's where they get it from.
Right.
But they take
it
literal. They take it literal. And they just as nuts as he is.
Yeah. All right. So yeah, we got about 4 minutes left to the live stream. You know, thanks to all the callers and everybody for calling in. Again, this is Collective Minds Radio. We were just digging into the psychology of God, the God of the Bible. We coming off of, you know, a dialogue with the Hebrew Israelites and their doctrine. We still got more questions. We still got, you know, some more dialogues to be had. Because like I say, I like to have these conversations just to get people to think, to examine, to analyze different type of things. And, you know, just go for that because I think we're in a time of truth. So a lot of things are being revealed. You know, in this particular day and age. And, you know, I think it's time for our people to really get serious and get on the ball and, you know, take our destiny into our own hands. Like, you know, like the great Marcus Garvey said, we're a people of destiny. We need to take our own destiny into our own hands and stop, you know, waiting on some forces outside of us to handle our situation and take care of it ourselves.
Yeah.
Hey, so,
before I forget, I don't want to forget this because them, they got on you about Keithan. But I watched the video. I saw something a little strange. I don't have the minute marker right now, but I saw something a little strange where a brother came into the shot trying to pass something to Zari. I can go, oh, brother, not on camera. And it looked like a bag of ganja to me.
Oh.
I'm just saying. So anybody who know what we talking about, you can go back and look at that for yourself. Just remember where he say, "Oh, brother, not on camera." Pay attention to the ball on the right hand. Look like he had a sack to me.
Oh. All right, we gonna leave it there. Roger Starr, you got any last words before we get up out of here?
I just like to say that, you know, still like I've always said, I don't have a problem with the Bible. I don't take everything literal in the Bible, never have. I think it's people's perceptions that got things kind of mixed up, you know, with all the confusion and stuff. So people just have different perceptions and interpretations of what they're reading. That goes back to the words, you know, words and language and things like that. That's the problem anyway. So no need to get angry at nobody and calling names and stuff. It's just, hey, it is what it is.
Right, indeed. Agreed. Yeah, on that note, we go end on the feminine principle. She go get the last word.
Yes.
Again, it's Collective Minds, y'all. Join us next week, 6 p.m., 7:30 p.m. Central Standard Time. And we out.
Cross-dressers.
Cross-dressers. Don't do them like that. We all keep it respectful.
All right. See y'all out there. See y'all on the corner. See y'all on the corner.
All right, y'all. Peace.
I might try to buy one of you cross dressers.
You niggas not real, don't debate me. And Jesus not real, don't debate me. The money not real, don't debate me. Your jury not real, don't debate me.